Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be talking about negotiations and how it fits in with creative financing. This is definitely a popular subject among the masses, those who invest in real estate. And really, it's how you, if you want to convert more deals or you want to get better margins on more deals, you need to learn how to negotiate. Let's dive into that, Jeff. First of all, tell us why you wanted to talk about negotiations, other than it being a popular topic.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm asked to speak fairly frequently at, whether it's meetups or RIAs on other podcasts, whatever. And most of the stuff that people want me to speak on is creative financing. And my mastermind asked me if I would speak on how to close deals virtually over the phone. And so to me, that was more about how to use negotiation, whether it's over the phone or in person, it doesn't really matter. It's the same. And so I said, sure. And then all of a sudden I did it for my apprentices. And then I did it for the wholesale meetup that we did. And so some of our listeners will have heard this. I know a few were on our wholesale meetup. Some are apprentices that now they'll be hearing it for the third time. But these are real, strategies that I use that a lot of real estate investors use on a regular basis that is going to help convert more deals. And we'll see if we can't put a creative spin on it in terms of, maybe how to deal with, some scenarios where we're dealing with creative financing. But you'll see, it doesn't really matter. You will be able to use it in whatever you're trying to negotiate.
Yeah. And because this is kind of this could be a long topic, I think we'll break this up into two parts.
Yeah, we'll do two parts. Most of it will be what my favorite strategies are and how to use them.
Okay. Yeah, let's start there then.
So, one of the things before we really even dive into it, if you're struggling to get more, you want to scale, you want to get more deals per month with your business, whether you're a wholesaler, buy and hold, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I basically identified three ways that you can do that. And one is that, hey, if I've become good enough that I know that, hey, for every 20 leads that I get a deal, that, hey, if I create more leads, then I make more offers and I will get more deals per month, right? Makes sense?
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward math. Once you get to that point where you know about how many leads it takes to convert to a deal.
Yeah.
The second way, which is why we do this podcast, is being able to use creative financing and making different kinds of offers to sellers. Now you're able to, one, give sellers options, or you're able to work with sellers that may not have normally fit into your buying criteria. And so you're able to make more offers, get more deals accepted. So you basically have more tools in your tool belt to try to get things done, right? And then the third way is becoming a better negotiator and how to, and when I say negotiator, I'm not saying that you get better at convincing people to sell you a property. That's not what it is. What it is helping people move through the selling process to the point where they want to, you're removing all the clutter, all the skepticism, all of the hurdles that you have to deal with, and getting them to the finish line where they want to, where they want to actually sell the property and and sell it to you.
Right.
So those are basically the three ways that I look at where you can generate more deals.
So put more leads in the pipeline by doing more marketing, provide creative financing solutions so that you can do deals that others aren't skilled enough to do, or become a better negotiator to convert more leads.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Those are the three. All right. So we're going to start with what I think almost everyone would start with in terms of, you know, how to become a better negotiator. And it starts with a term called rapport. And that your rapport last name to me is
Rappaport.
So. It's close. Yes. not quite spelled the same, but one of the things that we want to be able to do is we want to create a connection with the seller. And rapport, I think, is a misunderstood term. I've listened to a lot of salespeople on recordings, and sometimes you hear, you know, everyone needs to have their own personality when they're selling. You certainly should have a foundation of strategies and techniques, but ultimately you need to be you to, you know, have the best version of you. And I more often than not find that people really force rapport, right?
Yeah.
Like they're pushing it, and it comes across as being awkward or phony. Maybe not phony would be the best word, but insincere. I'm not a fan of that. So I don't go into a negotiation thinking create rapport. I go into a negotiation with an idea in mind that, hey, that we've got a deal. Let's see what we can do to figure out how we can make this work for all parties involved. And I'm going to ask questions, and I'm going to look for opportunities to create rapport. And I'm not going to force this, like, hey, it's Memorial Day, so what are you doing? You know, it's a holiday weekend. Are you drinking some beer? That's not me. Okay. I don't like that. So I might say to someone, hey, you know, so we start talking about their property, and I say, so how long have you owned it? 20 years. Wow, that's a long time. Have you had any problems while you've owned it? Oh yeah, I've had some problems. And I might say, yeah, I mean, basically, if you're a landlord long enough, you're about to see things that you never thought you would see. Oh, well, I can tell you a story about, you know, when I had to evict my daughter-in-law because, you know, she was doing this, and then her boyfriend was smoking meth, and now I can be genuine, right? Because I've been a landlord. I've been there. I mean, I had a murder in one of my rentals. I've had DCFS come out and pull children out of a rental. I mean, I've seen lots of things as well. And now we can connect on that because there was an opportunity from just having a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, if we're talking and, you know, a dog barks in the background, I'm probably not going to jump all over that. Oh, you got a dog? What kind of dog? I love dogs. I got dogs too. If he's got some dog that keeps barking, then I might bring it up. But, you know, I'm not going to force the rapport. And the goal is that I want to come across as being sincere. One of the things that I almost always say and keep in mind, you know, I'm not doing this on a regular basis anymore. That's not my role. But I teach my acquisition manager, my lead manager, all those people that are, you know, my apprentices, how to do this. And one of the things that I always say to a seller is, Look, if we can't create a win-win situation here where you're really satisfied with the end result, I don't want to do business. And I want you to be able to tell me this doesn't work for you. I respect your time. I hope you would respect mine, and you know, we'll part friends. And yeah, you know, but if this isn't good for you, let's not do it. Is that fair? And you know, that immediately gets you a little rapport, because hey, you know, I'm basically saying I'm looking out for your best interest as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point there. Win-win. And if this doesn't work for you, please tell me. You're giving them an escape route, right?
Yeah, there'll be times where I'll ask them to tell me no if you know that they don't like something that I'm you know proposing. So yeah. I'm trying to give them permission to get out of this, because I want it to ultimately work for them as well.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, yeah. There's no deal.
Yeah. So okay. I think you'll be surprised, because this is the biggest secret of all of them. Okay. Right off the bat, we're coming with the big one, the one that, you know, will unleash all the other strategies. And, you know, it's not that amazing when you think about it. You always want to respond to a question with a question.
Yep.
And it is so hard for people to do.
It really is. It's something you have to train for. I mean, I've been practicing over the years, and there's so many times I still don't answer a question with a question.
Well, and we're going to talk about why you want to do this, but it is something that you've got to learn to do, because it will put you in such a better position. And I'll give you countless reasons why, but think about something like if someone comes at you, a seller comes at you and says, how much can you pay for my house? Right. Which, hey, do you ever get that? Like, hey, I just want to know what you can pay for my house.
Yep.
And you're like,
how much do you want for your house?
Well, right. So, you know, so my response might be something like, Mr. Seller, wouldn't it make sense for me to learn as much as I could about your house before I put an offer in front of you that I can't even stand by? I mean, that would make sense to you, wouldn't it? And so I can make almost anything that I'm saying be a question just by like, don't you think, or correct, or do you think that's fair? Yeah. Something like that. So how fast can you close on my property? Well, it sounds like you may have a time frame that you're looking for in terms of closing. How quickly would you like me to close on your property?
Yeah.
I'd much rather get them to answer their own questions as much as possible. And plus, it's going to give me guidance. It's going to give me direction on where to go. And I'll show you what happens when you don't do this. And you're going to open yourself up for many more objections, many more questions. And what you think you're actually accomplishing by answering that question is pushing you further away from your ultimate goal. And so the next step would be is what's going to happen when you answer a question without asking a question. So tell me if you think this is true, Jonathan. You've been an investor for a number of years now. I'm sure you've talked to your share of sellers. And when they ask you a question, in your mind, you are trying to answer that question as quickly as possible, because in your mind, it's like, there may be a one question or two or three questions that are standing in your way of getting to the goal of signing an agreement, right? If I can just alleviate, you know, hey, they've got a question. Okay, if I can alleviate it, I'm now one step closer to that signed agreement. Okay, I got another question. Okay, now I'm even one step closer. This is what happens. So I'm making assumptions on what I believe I just heard from the seller. And let's use a creative financing example here. So let's say that we're making an offer on, you know, some kind of terms, and we talk about due on sale clause. You know, due on sale clause comes up and the seller says, oh, you know, yeah, what about the due on sale clause? And you immediately try to start to educate the seller and diffuse what you believe to be anxiety about the due on sale clause, right? An objection about it. Oh, you know, don't worry, you know, it never happens. We could even do it as contract for deed, so you remain on title, and and then the seller says, well, I really was just, you know, does that mean I shouldn't talk to the bank about it? But now I've just brought up all kinds of things. And now one objection or one question may now become three questions or five or new objections, because I did not just ask a question or I did not clarify what the actual question was. And that is what will get you into trouble. And it's actually when in your mind, you're starting to think, answer that question, I'm one step closer to getting a deal. And in reality, it could be pushing you further and further away from that deal if you're not careful. And as investors, we always have a problem. We talk too much. We want to educate. We may have the right intentions, but we want to educate the seller. Hey, you know, let me tell you how much I know about owner financing. Subject to, I'm going to take over your property subject to, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And don't worry about the due on sale clause because it's nothing to worry about. Okay. You've just created all kinds of issues that may not have ever existed. And that's not the goal. The goal is to handle what it is that the seller's issue is, that, you know, whether it's an objection, and we'll start to refer to those. If any of our listeners want additional sales training, you know, one of the better trainers for sure out there is John Martinez, and he would refer to those as deal killers, which are, you know, objections that still exist that haven't been dealt with, and because they keep coming up, and they're going to prevent you from, you know, getting to where you want to go in the sales process.
Yeah. So do you, do you address those as they come up? And do you try to, I guess, ask how they feel about it?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I know you,
why don't you hold that question? Because I think we're going to answer it. And if we don't, then let's bring it up again. Okay.
But, okay.
As we go forward here, you know, one of the other things that I want to do, and there's another part to this, and that is that, okay, if I don't necessarily have a question to ask, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I'm not sure where I want to go with this, then what I want to do is clarify what the question was. So, Mr. Seller, I just wanted to be sure I understand your question. You're wondering if we do this, what will happen then? Is that right? I'm trying to one, totally understand what the question or objection is before I ever try to come up with an answer. And I may or may not even give an answer. We may kind of talk around this, and the seller may answer it him or herself.
Yeah.
But I want to be careful of when I'm actually just giving out information as opposed to really diving deeper to understand what it is. The secondary kind of aspect of all this is that if I ask this kind of question, hey, I just wanted to be sure that I'm understanding.
Yeah.
You know, it's doing a few things for you. One, it's kind of building that rapport.
Yeah.
People like to know they're being heard.
Yes.
And, you know, they want to know that you're listening. And as investors, our minds are going so quickly, you know, that there's so much that we're, you know, we're thinking about, like, where do we go from here? What's next? What's next? You know, how do I get them to go here? And so we have all these things going on, And it's very easy to not truly hear what the seller is talking about. So yes. Listening is like the
key.
Asking a question and listening go together. So if you become good at just those two things, you will be shocked by how much this transforms your negotiation strategy.
Yeah, because really what you're doing is you're validating their concerns. And right. When they feel validated, that's a huge rapport builder. And you're clarifying what you're getting to the bottom of what their true objection is.
That's right. And you know, the seller really, when you're in a situation where there's a number of investors working with a seller, there's only a couple of different ways that you kind of stand out differently from other investors. One is who can offer the most amount of money for the property, right?
Right.
If we're talking cash, I don't want to be that person that offers the most amount of money for that property.
Right. But
that's not my goal. I might be able to offer more because I understand creative financing, and that might work. But really what I want is I want the seller to say, you know what? I have a connection with you, Jeff. You get me. You hear what I have to say. And that goes, that might mean more to me than, you know, getting a few extra $1,000 at closing. And it happens. It really happens.
Yeah, for sure. And that's whoever they have that rapport with, whoever has the most rapport usually gets the deal. Unless it's absolutely
exactly right.
About the cash price.
You know, the president of the RIA that we're involved with always has a saying, says it all the time. People do business with people they like, know, and trust.
Yep.
And, that's what rapport is creating that connection and making it so that the seller feels safe working with you.
Yeah.
So you want to go through one more strategy and then we'll cut this off and,
yeah. And
then we'll do a second one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. All right. So what I'd like to do is these are some different strategies and we are looking for, let's back up. So when, I did a presentation with this last night and I combined it with follow-up, how to follow up on leads. And what one of the things was, is when you do follow up with leads, what do you say to a seller? Okay. And in reality, I think investors are, they get so tunnel vision and it's about them, right? It's like, hey, I've got all these deals on the table, they're close to the finish line, how do I get them to the finish line? And as opposed to where are my sellers in this process, how do I help them get to the finish line? And so one of the things that you need to understand about sellers right away is when you're following up, I think in most sellers' minds, like, hey, are you ready to do business? I presented an offer to you a month ago. Are you ready to go now?
Yeah.
Hey, it's been 2 months. You ready to go now?
Right.
Right. And maybe that's not exactly what we say, but that's kind of what's being conveyed. And really what it should come down to is one of three things. One is, what is the actual seller's motivation to sell the house now? And when I say motivation, that might be something that we all consider motivation, like, hey, I'm in default, I've got a sale date coming up, I have urgency, I have all these, I've just inherited this house, I don't want to start paying on it. And so they may have some urgency, but really what I'm talking about is what is pushing them forward to actually sell their house now.
Yeah.
You know, are they ready to actually do this? You know, is the timing right for them to sell a house?
Yeah. So motivation. And then,
okay. So second would be, is they do want to sell their house, but there's something that's standing in the way, or some things that are standing in the way that still need to be resolved.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, you know, I've dealt with this a few times that I've had a deal where the deal's basically been made between the seller and myself. However, they've been renting the property to some kind of relative.
Yeah.
And that relative is not paying. The relative has been the problem. And they don't want, you know, initially I thought they wanted us to deal with the relative so they didn't have to, but in some cases they wanted to deal with the relative. In some cases, I don't think they want anything to do with dealing with the relative. They're mixed up. They've got a conflict in their own mind of how this is being dealt with and what the consequences of, you know, what might come out of all of it.
Yeah.
So these are things that could still be in their way that they have to resolve somehow to move forward.
Yeah. And I would call these obstacles.
Let's call them deal killers, because, and some are things that maybe we can help with. Some are probably not things that we can help with.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the third one is, you know, I don't want to sell, and I, you know, for whatever reason, I don't want to just tell you that because I'll feel bad, because, you know, you've been nice to me and I don't like confrontation. Yeah. And, but, you know, I'm just not ready to sell now. And, so the no should be, hey, all right, no problem. We're going to just put you in long-term follow-up campaign, and, you know, hopefully we'll be there when you are ready to sell.
Yep. Okay. Hey, it's okay for you to say no. That's fine. Do you mind if we continue to follow up with you about this in the future?
That's right. So we want to do those three things. And so now on our follow-up, you know, this would be more of a conversation, and we're really just going to use these three things to have a conversation with the seller. Hey, Jonathan, you know, I talked to you about a month ago about your house, and, you know, I've just been thinking about you. I know that you weren't really ready to do something, you know, a month ago. Wanted to touch base and, you know, see where you're at right now. And you're like, well, you know, I don't know. And, hey, you know, Jonathan, typically when we get to this point, when we're working with a seller, there's usually one of three things that's going on. You know, one, they're just not ready to sell. And if that's the case, you know, I understand it. You know, a no is a no for now. And if that's the case with you, I would hope that you would just say no. And, you know, we'll follow up with you every so often and see if we can be there when that changes for you.
Yeah.
No, I do want to sell. Okay. Then really what it comes down to is, you know, are you really ready to sell? And that means that, you know, do you want to sell now, or are you just kind of thinking about it? And, you know, when you get around to it, it'll be a good time. No, I really do want to sell, like, now. Okay. So typically if we get to this point and there's still something holding you back, then, you know, maybe I didn't do a good enough job, you know, explaining things. Maybe I didn't do a good enough job at dealing with any of the other issues that might be. But if you could tell me, you know, one or two, maybe even three things that you feel are kind of holding you back, perhaps I can help and resolve them. And if I can't, then maybe I can at least direct you, even if it's not working with me, but going somewhere else, maybe listing the property, you know, doing what would potentially be in your best interest, help direct you somewhere else. And then we'll part friends. You know, so could you tell me the one, two, maybe three top things that may be holding you back? And now we're identifying, or trying to identify, what are those obstacles? What are those deal killers? So that we can now address them and see if we can resolve them.
Yeah, for sure. What are the things holding you? What's the three things holding you in the back? Yes. I like it. That's a great question. Okay, well, I think we'll leave this here and we'll pick it up on the next one. I think that was, there's definitely so many golden nuggets in this podcast alone when it comes to negotiating. So I hope you guys out there are enjoying this. And if you are, you know, show us some love, you know, rate and review our podcast. That's how, you know, Apple Podcasts or iTunes suggests it to other people looking for the same content. So show us some love, guys. Go out there and rate and review our podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whether that's on Google Play or iTunes or whatever. It really helps us reach more people. So please do that, guys. You can find all of our episodes on the creativefinancingpodcast.com. That all of our episodes are archived there. So if you can't find them on iTunes or Google Play, because I think they only index 100 of them, you can go there. And if you would like special access to a video on creating offers on a single family home, a step-by-step video that Jeff put together, text us at 877-409-8090. And we'll get you access to that. And that will be kind of a taste of the Creative Financing Academy that we are currently building right now. And there's definitely a lot of work that goes into that. So thanks for your patience on that. Guys, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, please reach out to Rebecca. You can email her at Rebecca@weofferoptions.com. And in the subject line, just let her know that you're interested in the apprenticeship. Again, Rebecca@weofferoptions.com. Miss anything, Jeff?
Other than just our Facebook page, the Facebook. Creative Financing Podcast. We're kind of trying to replace our hotline number with Facebook. You know, but we've got some good people in there. Some experience, some beginners, but you can post your questions, your deals. You know, we want to make it as interactive as possible, and join it. We'll add you right in, and that way we're not waiting for me or whomever to get back to you with a phone call.
Yep, for sure. Cool. Okay, guys. Till next time. Go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.